Well, there's so many different things you could look at as you're looking towards Resurrection Sunday and just the work that Jesus did. One of the things I love, though, comes to us from the book of Luke, chapter 24. And in Luke, chapter 24, this is after Jesus has died and rose again. They've already gone to the cross. The women have been there. Peter's been there. And I'm going to start reading to you from chapter 24, in verse number 13. And behold, on that very day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had occurred. And while they were conversing and discussing together, Jesus himself caught up to them and was already accompanying them. But their eyes were held, so they did not recognize him. And he said to them, "What is this discussion that you're exchanging in between yourselves as you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad and downcast. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered, "Do you alone dwell as a stranger in Jerusalem and not know the things that have occurred there in these days?" And he said to them, "What kind of things?" And they said to him, "About Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in work and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers gave him up to be sentenced to death and crucified him. And we were hoping that it was he who would redeem and set free Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things occurred. And moreover, some women of our company astounded us and drove us out of our senses. They were at the tomb early in the morning, but they did not find his body. And they returned saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And Jesus said to them, 'O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets have spoken to you. Was it not necessary and essentially fitting that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer all these things before entering into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and throughout all the prophets, he went on explaining and interpreting to them in all the scriptures the things concerning and referring to himself. Then they drew near to the village in which they were going, and he acted as if he was going to go on further. But they urged and insisted, saying to him, 'Remain with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And it occurred that they had reclined at the table with him. He reclined at the table with them. He took a loaf of bread and praised God and gave thanks and asked a blessing and then broke it and was giving it to them. And their eyes were instantly opened and they clearly recognized him and he vanished. And they said to one another, 'Were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us while he was talking with us all that while on the road? And as he opened and explained to us the sense of all the scriptures?' And rising up that very hour, they went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 apostles gathered together and those who were with them." So here's these two of the disciples, not the 11, but some of the others who followed Jesus Christ and knew him well. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles. So you figure this is like a little over a two-hour walk that they have. And as they're walking, Jesus comes up and starts walking with them. And the fact that Jesus, these are disciples, they're followers of Jesus, and yet they don't recognize Jesus. Jesus is in his glorified body, resurrected, having overcome, defeated sin and death, in his glorified body, and they don't recognize him. And he walks with them, and they're talking with him. And, you know, one of the most astounding things is, as you listen to the conversation that they had with Jesus, and they're saying, "Look, are you a stranger here that you're the only one that doesn't know what events have taken place in these days?" That also gives us a really good idea of just how overwhelming was the power of what was taking place at this time. This is not just something that took place and people were aware of it and forgot about it quickly and you know, just some people were involved. No, these two disciples are saying, hey, basically everybody in Jerusalem is well aware of what's taking place. Everybody was aware of Jesus Christ of what the words that he spoke, the truth, the miracles that were taking place in Jerusalem, of his capture, his trial, his horrific treatment, his hanging on a cross, and all the speculation of what was to come. Everybody knew what was going on, so they're amazed that here is this one coming and talking with them that doesn't know what's going on. But as they're talking to Jesus, and they're saying, you know, the one verse says that when he asks them what they're talking about, you know, it says that they were sad and downcast. These are disappointed disciples. Because they have been expecting, just like all the other disciples, they have been expecting that Jesus was going to be a physical ruler of all things on this earth. They were looking for physical things. They were looking for him to be the Messiah. They weren't expecting the Messiah to die in their presence. So they were sad and they were downcast because they had these expectations for Jesus. Here's the irony of it. They're sad and they're downcast because what their hearts wanted more than anything else at that moment, what they desired more than anything else at that moment, was for Jesus to be who he said he was, for Jesus to be the Messiah, for Jesus and all the promises that he had given them, for those things to be true. That's what they wanted more than anything else, was Jesus Christ at that moment. And Jesus was right there in their midst. They just didn't see it. What they wanted and desired more than anything else was right there in their midst. And they just didn't discern it. They just didn't see it. But how much is that true of us today? What we desire more than anything else is for Jesus to be true and for his word to be true and for the promises to come to pass. What we desire is that all the good and glorious things that the word tells us, we want that to be true. What we desire, what we hunger for, is Jesus to be in our lives. And if we're going through a struggle, if we're going through a difficult time, we desire for Jesus to be there with us, walking with us with his promises. And just like these disciples, those times that we feel alone, those times that we feel isolated, that we think, Jesus, where are you? He's always right there in the midst of us. Just like these disciples, he was right there walking between them. That which they desired was there all the time. They just didn't recognize it or see it. That which we desire, Jesus Christ, is always right there in our midst. Always right there with us. It says in verse number 16 that their eyes were held so they could not recognize him. Here's the thing. Jesus was in his glorious body. They were still looking for Jesus, who was a physical deliverer. They're still looking with their physical eyes, not with their spiritual eyes. The things of the Spirit can never be discerned with the physical. It makes you stop and wonder, how many spiritual truths have there been that we just didn't recognize? It was right there in front of us, but we didn't recognize, because our expectation, just like these two disciples, their expectation was that what they had seen was the ultimate final truth. What they had witnessed with their own eyes was the ultimate final truth. How many times do we witness things with our eyes and we think, well, that's just the way that it is? Not understanding the spiritual realities that are taking place and the spiritual promises that are already done. The spiritual things that are already accomplished and done for us. And yet we don't see it, so we don't accept it. It's because you can't see the spiritual things with the physical eyes. That's why it's so imperative that we spend the time in the Word and we spend the time in prayer with him. It's because it's when we spend that time in the spiritual realm and the spiritual things that we become sensitive, far more sensitive to those spiritual things. And you know what? The Holy Spirit lives within you because you're a born-again child of Jesus Christ. You are a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit is always telling you, reminding you, encouraging you of all the things that are already done and accomplished for you. And yet if we're not in tune to that, if we're not listening to that, if we're not listening with spiritual ears and looking with spiritual eyes, if we're not expecting, we're going to wind up just like these two disciples, walking through our life, hoping for and desiring something that we believe we don't have, even though it's right there in our midst all the time. You know, whatever need you face today, your answer is already right there in your midst. You may not recognize it and you may not see it, but that's because you're looking with natural eyes. Look with those spiritual eyes. You know, when was it that the disciples, these two disciples, suddenly realized that it was Jesus who was walking with them? They walked all this way, 2 hours walking with Jesus. And Jesus is telling them all the things about the scriptures. I think it's kind of interesting to note that when it says that Jesus told them everything about the scriptures, interesting to note that it says in verse 27, then beginning with Moses and throughout all the prophets, he went on explaining and interpreting to them all the scriptures and the things concerning and referring to himself. Kind of interesting that he starts with Moses and goes to the prophets and all the things that led up to him. Why didn't he start with Abraham? Why didn't he start with Noah? You know, why didn't he start with Adam? Certainly Abraham was the first one that really demonstrated faith. Why not start with Abraham? No, it says he started with Moses and worked all the way through. Well, Moses was the one who brought the law. You know, Moses is very often, there's so many similarities between Moses as a deliverer and Jesus as a deliverer, but Moses is the one who brought the first covenant, the law. And that first covenant, that law, was all foreshadowing, all a leading up to who he was and what he was going to become. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. In other words, he fulfilled all the things. Moses brought the law, and the law came to let men know that, well, each one of us, in our own strength and ability, would never be able to adhere to all the things of the law. We would never be able to meet the requirements of the law. The law let us know that we needed a Savior. And Jesus came to fulfill the law. He fulfilled all those things that no man could. No man, from the time that Moses brought the law until Jesus, no man was ever able to live and meet all the standards of the law, except for Jesus. He fulfilled all the things of the law. So he starts talking to them from the time of Moses all the way through and explains all these things. And even still, these two disciples aren't recognizing that this is Jesus Christ, the one that they were hoping for, the one that they wanted to see more than anyone else. And there he was in their midst and explaining all these things. Jesus even said to them, it's like he's talking to you and I sometimes today. Jesus even said to them, "Oh, foolish ones." This is what it says in the Amplified Bible. "Oh, foolish ones, sluggish in mind, dull of perception." Yeah, I've been there. "Sluggish of mind, dull of perception, slow of heart to believe, adhere to and trust in and rely on everything that the prophets have spoken." Jesus is saying, if you guys know what the prophecies are, you've heard all the prophets and all the prophecies that they've given. Do you not believe them? Do you not know, understand them? Let me teach you what these things were saying and see how they were fulfilled in my life, in what I did, and what I've accomplished. This is what Jesus is saying to them. Too many times we're too sluggish of mind, sluggish of heart to see the promises of God. Instead, we see the things of the natural realm, and that's what we hold on to. Jesus said that we're supposed to rely on, trust in him, adhere to, trust in, and rely upon him. That's what it takes. That's the faith that's required. Too many times, we're not adhering to, trusting, and relying on him. We're sluggish of mind. We're looking at the situation and the circumstances, and we're believing the things that we see rather than the things that were done. These two disciples were believing the things that they had seen, not the things that Jesus Christ had actually done for them and for all men. So they draw near to the village, and Jesus looks like he's just going to keep going on. And they say, no, stay with us. So they go in, and it says, "And it occurred that as he reclined at the table with them, he took a loaf of bread, praised God, gave thanks, asked a blessing, and then broke it, and was giving it to them." And that's when their eyes were instantly opened. That's when they were able to see beyond the physical and see with spiritual eyes who Jesus was. Why was it significant? Why was it at that moment that their eyes were opened? How was it they could walk for 2 hours with Jesus Christ, wanting more than anything else, wanting Jesus to be who he said he was, and wanting Jesus to be there still that day? And there he was in the midst, and they didn't see it. Why was it all that time they couldn't see, even when he described to them all the things that the prophets had said and described the scriptures themselves from Moses all the way through the Old Testament, and even giving examples of his own life, here in the flesh. He explained it all to them, and it all made sense to them, and they still didn't see. Why is it that it's not until they're reclining together that Jesus breaks the bread, gives thanks, and as he hands it to them, their eyes are opened? Well, there's that breaking of bread. It's that breaking of the body. And that's what it is. It's that removal. It's that moving or removing the flesh. When we get the flesh out of the way, that's where we can see with spiritual things. And this is what Jesus did. His body was broken. It's removing the flesh. It's breaking the flesh and the hold of the flesh so that we can dwell in that which is the greater and that which is the more eternal, that which is, truthfully, the greater reality, the spiritual. So when he broke the bread, it's symbolic of just removing, breaking the flesh, getting the flesh out of the way. And once their flesh was out of the way, once their flesh was out of the way and their eyes were open to see, not just with their physical, but to see the spiritual, they instantly recognized and saw exactly who Jesus was. Jesus' body had been broken for them. And when he broke that bread and gave thanks, when he thanked the Father for his body being broken, their eyes were instantly opened and they could see, because flesh was defeated. When flesh is defeated, we can see with spiritual eyes. Whatever you might be facing today in your life, remember this. What you want and what you desire more than anything else is Jesus Christ being right there with you in your midst. What you want and what you desire is for Jesus and his word and his promises to be true. You want that. It doesn't feel that way sometimes, but it's what we want. It's what we hunger for. It's what we desire for. And guess what? Just like these two disciples, that which you desire, that which you're hoping for, that which you long for more than anything else, Jesus to be true and to be right there with you in the midst of you, is exactly what's happening. But we have to learn to look beyond the natural, beyond the physical, and look towards the spiritual, towards what the Word says, towards the promises that are there. Trust and believe those things, because Jesus is right there in your midst today, walking with you, walking with that deliverance. But it's up to us to adhere to trust in, and rely upon him.